Yes, first of all, the topic is changed. I will not focus on HIV/AIDS sector. I just didn't have enough space in the paper to also include that sector, so I will focus only on the trade sector, and I will dwell on the role of civil society in regional trade integration in Southern Africa. And it's part of a PhD project, which I will hopefully conclude this year. And I also include then the HIV/AIDS sector in that project. It will be another chapter. And also regional environmental networks in the Lake Victoria region. So that's a third empirical chapter in my dissertation. And so this paper is based on extensive field research in Southern Africa. I've interviewed a number of civil society actors, SADC, staff members, foreign donors, etc. So the paper is then quite empirically driven. So I'll actually depart from Alexis, one of his final questions in your presentation, which I find extremely important. Should regionalism be viewed mainly at an interstate level? And of course, no. There are a bunch of non-state actors also pushing to become big players in regional integration processes in Southern Africa. However, I would say that yes, we do have a worldwide trend of states-led regionalism in globally today, and there is extensive research going on about that. But apart from that, we also see processes of civil society regionalization in many world regions. I would say that the problem then with social science research, regionalism research, etc., is the fact that we haven't really developed concepts and theories for the sort of soft regionalization processes or bottom-up regionalization, which makes regionalism research quite state-centered, state-centric. And I'd like to challenge that with my paper and my research then. I think the name of this panel is quite interesting then, non-state actors below the radar of researchers, I would say. That's how I interpret it, actually. And also in this workshop, I would say that maybe my research could also fit in the next panel on actors in trade and development. So it's quite, I would say, not surprising at all that we create a panel on its own for the sort of non-state actors. They can deal with their issues in their panel. While I believe that non-state actors should be on par with the state sort of actors in regional processes. Because we do see such processes going on in Southern Africa. Of course, most civil society actors are still nationally based, still locally based, that's for sure. And I will dwell on that later on. But at the same time, and I will guide you through my paper in that way, there are also a number of very important regional civil society organizations, networks, NGOs, etc., out there, and they want to make a difference in regional trade integration in Southern Africa today. So one could say that my paper and my research is a bit civil society centric approach then, to provoke a little bit, and perhaps the sort of challenges to reconcile to have both states, actors, civil society actors, to involve you know, have a more multi-actor kind of research. And maybe I will fill that gap a little bit with my paper. There are important studies so far about civil society regionalization, and I've listed some of them. We have a number of studies in East Asia, Southeast Asia. We have studies on Central America, Latin America, we have the Caribbean, the Baltic region, we have East Africa, and myself and a colleague of mine, Frederick Söderbaum, has done also some research on, previous research on Southern Africa and also East Africa, and we have West Africa. So there are definitely more and more studies on this topic, which is very promising. However, I would say that the focus in these studies is very much on a sort of the structural context of states-led regional governance. Most of these researchers, they want to understand how civil society actors, how they take part of regional governance processes, and how states either obstruct or facilitate their participation. So it's still a bit state-centric. These civil society actors are seen more in light of the regional interstate organizations and not in themselves, sort of. There is definitely an actor perspective absent than in most studies on civil society regionalization. CSOs as conscious actors in regional processes, regardless of the sort of regional interstate organizations or not. They do have their own agendas. They do have their own mechanisms that guide their regionalization, why they go regional, cross national borders. And this paper will then address both, at least try to both address both structural and actor-oriented perspectives. And of course, they're also very much intimately linked. Because of course, it's still very important to see civil society organizations within the framework of inter-state regional organizations, of course. And I will give a lot of examples of that. And also, of course, foreign donors are extremely important to understand regionalization of civil society. Without donor funds, no regional networks, no regional social forums, etc., etc. Now I will dwell on that as well. The empirical focus is Southern Africa and the trade sector, and the trade sector is extremely interesting because you find a number of new important players, civil society players in the trade sector that wants to make a difference and affect trade integration in some cases in a totally different way, I would say, in a different direction. So the framework, I will not dwell a lot on that. I sort of base my research in the new regionalism approach at the NRA. I'm sure most of you are aware of that approach, which I believe that it's one of the few regionalism approaches that actually incorporate non-state actors in their studies. They sort of have a multi-actor, multi-dimensional approach towards the study of regions, and I like that. But still, the role of civil society is very much under-researched, even in the NRA. It's much of a sort of normative approach, I would say, that non-state actors should be studied, they should be part of these processes, but it's not matched by empirical studies on the ground, sort of. And I'll try to fill that gap a little bit. I won't go through the big debate about what is civil society, just to say here that it could be considered the public realm and the associational life existing between the state and the private sphere. And civil society is often seen as an arena where different associations and interest groups can express their interests and engage with the state. However, when it comes to civil society research on Africa, there are a number of biases. First of all, civil society is very much perceived as national and not there are not enough concepts for understanding how civil society also go regional, how civil society is manifested on a transnational regional level. So that's one bias. Two other biases is the fact that civil society in liberal research is most of the time perceived as autonomous. It's sort of seen as in isolation from the state, from the African state, and as a sort of something good in itself, as a very normative inclination. And that's a problem, I believe. Equally problematic is the Gramscian sort of critical research on civil society in Africa. It's quite extensive. And there, civil society is more seen as an appendix of the state, sort of, and not at all as a quality in itself. And so the challenge here is to sort of bridge these structural and more actor-oriented approaches towards the study of civil society on a regional level. And then I try to combine these perspectives using, of course, NRA, but also the neo-Gramscian civil society research. There is a big debate on global civil society and global social movements and all that. I won't go into that debate now. But in that debate, people like Cox and Mittelman, they try to understand civil society, social movements in terms of world order and how they're affected by world order structures, etc. And that's important. But equally important is to understand civil society from the actor themselves, which is done in the social constructivist approach, linked, for example, to the Keck-Sicking studies on transnational advocacy networks, etc., trying to understand how these transnational advocacy networks, how they are guided by their own mechanisms, sort of speaking. And that's also extremely important. So now I'll try to combine these perspectives, and I focus on five factors. I try to understand civil society regionalization, to explain it, to sort of shed some light to why is it happening in Southern Africa. And I try to use these factors for that understanding. State centrism, it's a big debate about, and I touched upon it already, that civil society actors in global governance, for example, are very much dependent on the states to sort of let them in, that states very much dominate the role of civil society in global governance, for example. And that's very important, that's very applicable to Southern Africa, yes. Also the fact that knowledge structures, I would say, is also very important, and by that I mean the fact that those civil society actors that dwell, that try to solve problems in a rational, sort of secular approach, a market-oriented capitalist approach, trying to solve problems within the sort of dysfunctions of global systems, regional systems, etc. They are much more let in global regional governance structures than those organizations, social movements, etc., that have a totally different sort of knowledge background, sort of speaking. They want to transform regional orders, global orders. They do it with different methods, and they are much more critical, and some of them are religious, some of them use green values, etc. They're not sort of in par with the problem-solving capitalist mainstream sort of way of dealing with development problems, for example. And they are excluded in global regional governance. And donor resources, of course. No regional networks without donor resources. That's a major structure that affects regionalization. But also, of course, we have to look into the actor-oriented factors, very important. We have the big debate in the social movement literature and about issue framing and identity making, that many actors, civil society actors, are informed by how they frame their issues, For example, in Southern Africa, I will dwell on that much more later, the fact that those civil society actors, they frame their issues in a regional setting. They also operate regionally, so there is a connection here. Identity making, equally important. In order to understand regional integration in Southern Africa today among state and non-state actors, it's very important to see how a sense of regional belonging is developing among these actors. We belong to the Southern African region. We're not only South Africans, etc. We are also workers in Southern Africa. We're also activists. We share different norms and values all over the region, etc. So identity making and issue framing is very important factors to understand regionalization of civil society, I believe. These are the organizations that I touch upon in this paper. There are many others, but these are important. We have the SADC Council of NGOs. It's a network of national NGO coalitions in the whole SADC region, based in secretariat in Gaborone, Botswana. We have the Southern African Trade Union Coordinating Council, SATUC, also made up of different trade union coalitions, national trade union coalitions in the whole of SADC region. Also, they also have their main office in Gaborone. We have a more radical regional network called SAPSN, Southern African People's Solidarity Network, and they are hosted by an organization in Zimbabwe. It's a much more loose kind of network. We have the Economic Justice Network based in Cape Town, the Ecumenical Church-based network, made up of Council of Churches organizations. in Southern Africa, we have Southern African Research and Development Center, Trade and Development Studies Center, and also Southern and Eastern African Trade Information and Negotiations Institute. And the last three are more regional research NGOs. Of course, the availability of donor funds for regional civil society activities are extremely important for these networks to operate. And there are studies about this saying that there are more and more funds available actually for regional activities in Southern Africa. And that's very promising for civil society. Mainly there are, in the trade sector, private trusts, foundations, and international NGOs that dominate this fund giving. Because very few bilateral donors are engaged in trade sector, because these organizations that I mentioned before, some of them are quite critical towards trade agendas, and it's not. And then they scare off many bilaterals. But the more private foundations and trusts, they are more in. They can support these kind of social, economic justice issues to a much greater extent. Here we have ActionAid, we have Norwegian Church Aid, we have OSISA, George Soros organization. They have different regional offices around the world, one in Southern Africa. We have Southern Africa Trust, we have Diakonia, Swedish NGO, we have Ford Foundation to a certain extent. These organizations are quite open to support regional activities. Of course, the financial situation of regional civil society is very fragile, and they are very dependent on the goodwill of these foreign donors. And for example, for SADC CNGO, for many years without donor funds, no activities. And that's the thing for many of these regional organizations. So they are very much dependent on these donor funds. So donor funds is definitely an important structural factor behind regionalization. We also have state centrism. Southern African regionalism today is quite state-centered, very much focused on SADC, etc. And SADC itself is a very state-centric organization that tends to exclude civil society in a number of ways. It's extremely difficult for organizations to get inside SADC, especially in the trade area. In HIV/AIDS, it's a different story, because then they don't question the sort of regionalism project per se, being very much trade-driven at the moment, very much market-oriented. So it's very state-centric. And also SADC, to a large extent in the trade sector, use a very much traditional discourse of sovereign statehood, that the member states driven organization, we take all of the most decisions are taken on a national level, and then we just come together regionally to sort of implement. So which is true, but evoking this discourse is also a strategy of barring civil society organizations to get to find their way into SADC discussing trade issues. The trade area is extremely a problematic area for civil society. And for example, they want to include ICBT issues, informal cross-border trade, which is a non-issue for SADC in many ways. It's very difficult for them to find space to discuss these issues in SADC. In the EPA area as well, Ciattini and Satuk, especially Ciattini, once were part of the COMESA delegation to discuss EPA, and because of the knowledge in the trade sector. But when they started to be critical about EPAs, they were excluded in the negotiations. Subsen, of course, very critical towards SADC. They want to structurally change the whole SADC project to be much more people-driven, and using, for example, together with Satuk, the alternative to neoliberalism in Africa, project in Southern Africa, sort of project. And they use contentious methods to do that, marching, etc., in parallel meetings to SADC, which very much scare off the SADC people. So the organizations that are very critical to the SADC trade agenda, they are very much excluded, regardless of how much they know in this area. But of course, there are some organizations.
We can read it, yeah. I mean, I'm conscious that the chairs are desperate to try to cut you up. I'm desperate to see what's following, yeah?
Yeah.
I think I maybe suggest to you that we read it, yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry about
okay, that. Yeah, yeah, I'll finish. Yeah. Yes. I'll finish. I will, yeah. regional issue frame is also very important. The way they frame their issues in a regional setting is also a very important factor behind regional civil society or regionalization of civil society. And many times it's done within a SADC setting, so it's within the SADC framework. SADC is framed as an enemy for many of these organizations, so they are very much dependent on SADC in that sense. Also, the regional identity making is also very important, especially for the critical elements of regional civil society. The regional substance identity of we have fought in the colonial wars, now we fight today, and it's continued struggle against oppression in the region. That's also how they construct sort of a regional substance identity. And to conclude, then, there are a number of challenges for civil society, of course, on the regional level. They are very much dependent on donor funds. Without donor funds, it's problematic for these networks to sustain. Also, of course, these issue framing and identity making are quite a top-down process. It's an elite layer of these organizations that cultivate these kind of identities and framework, and it hasn't really reached the sort of bottom grassroots, and that's very much a problem. And also the fact that civil society is very heterogeneous and conflictual. There are so many different ideologies and strategies used. So one challenge is to combine these different strategies and ideologies to have some kind of strategic leadership and coordinate these organizations, because that could definitely be a factor towards further strengthening of the regional civil society. Thank you.
Okay.